The calendar says September has turned to October. You step outside, it feels like October has turned into August. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on this first Thursday in the month of October, October 3rd, as we get you set for another big weekend of high school football at the Jersey Shore. We are live, as always, at the Water Street Grill in downtown Toms River, and we'll be here until 8:30 tonight. Among our guests, we'll talk with a couple of guys from the Big Red Ocean, off to a great start. Their head coach, Don Klein, and their outstanding senior linebacker, Dan Loizos. They'll be with us. We'll chat with Brick's Ray Fattaruso, the Green Dragons, coming off the big win last weekend. We'll be on with us, of course, our regular spot with Monmouth University head coach, Kevin Callahan, Scott Stump, on what should be a huge weekend of games, including a big one that may ultimately could decide even a number one spot or number two spot in the Shore Conference. And in just a couple of minutes, we will be joined by two of the co-captains from this year's Jackson Memorial Jaguars, Vinny Celedonio and Ken Bradley. That team off to a good start. But as always, as I say, good evening to my broadcasting colleagues. On my right, Matt Harmon. On my left, Ed Sarluca. We go back in time to last weekend, a weekend that included a significant number of football games with major ramifications in rankings and divisional play and all of that. And, Ed, where do you want to start?
Well, I'll start with the game that we saw on Saturday, the Lacey East game, which shocked everybody around the Shore. Not the fact that Lacey won the football game 45-42, but it's against the Toms River East team that had come into the game having given up 86 points and not scoring a one against the number three in my poll ranked Lions of Lacey, and they proceeded to give Lacey all they could handle, as I said, scoring 42 points, a little short, but quite an effort out of the Raiders. And then, of course, the other one, the Brick Toms River South game, which was huge as far as Brick is concerned. 47-21, they took down the undefeated Indians of South and put themselves as one of the favorites in the A-South.
Well, it's funny about both those games, Matt, as I say good evening to you. I believe on a couple of occasions last week we used the word trap game. And I think when we talked about the Brick South game, we took the attitude that South was considered the favorite. They had to be careful not to get caught in a trap game and thinking ahead to Lacey. I don't know if that happened or they just got their clocks cleaned by an inspired Green Dragon team. But the same might have happened, or that might have happened, to the Lacey Lions, who clearly were probably looking ahead and were finding themselves in a game against Toms River East that was not decided until an onside kick in the final minute.
Yeah, and if you look at it, at least the scoring by, you know, quarters, Lacey got off to a good start, up 21-7 after the first period of play. And credit Toms River East. I mean, there's a team that basically everyone had kind of left for dead, even 2 weeks into the season, come through with at least an inspired effort. And I guess most of that, following along with what you guys were tweeting and what people were talking about, was just making things simple on offense, going back to kind of that old-fashioned Toms River East look of kind of running right at you a little bit more rather than trying to be extremely sophisticated. And it worked. Now, it didn't get them a victory, but maybe now it gets them on a little bit of at least a roll where they feel like they can be competitive a bit more. You know, one of the games that we kind of kept an eye on during the course of our Friday night broadcast, which I think we would have to mention, is that B North game. I know we'll save most of it, but what an interesting week in Class B North. When you think about how many points were scored in A South games, 47-21, Toms River South, 35 for Jackson Memorial, 45-42 for East. You look down at B North and you see Ocean beat Mattawan 7-3 and Long Branch over Neptune 13-7. Just completely different types of divisions and how things are playing out.
I think that's an excellent point. And, of course, those were two very big games in the division and part of the reason why we're going to be talking with the guys from Ocean tonight.
One more, Kevin. The Barnegat-Mondon game. Barnegat winning a big football game against Mondon, 24-18, which, you know, took a huge step in that B-South race with that victory.
Barnegat along with Central, both 2-0. The interesting thing about that, and maybe the interesting thing about that this Barnegat team, and I assume we'll have Robbie Davis on at some point during this fall for sure, is we talk so much in the offseason about the outstanding young quarterback they have, the lefty St. John Erskine, and, you know, this passing game that honestly the Bengals have had hard to throw the ball in their first three wins. As a matter of fact, in the victory over Donovan, Ed, that you alluded to, they threw four passes. Two for
none.
Four,
right.
none in the second half,
yeah.
And it's become ground Barnegat. You know, 294 yards rushing. They've done a real nice job on the ground. And listen, if you can rush for 300 yards every week, you can win a lot of football games.
And you think about Barnegat and what we had thought they were going to be isn't necessarily developing into what they are. But to me, they could still unleash that passing attack
yes,
at any
when they
point.
Need it.
And I think the good thing for them, you know, the way their season has gone, they're already 3-0, and they haven't really shown anybody on their schedule coming up what the passing game is going to look like. They have a whole playbook that they haven't even flipped to that tab or that chapter yet.
I think that's a great point. They have a huge offensive line anchored by the junior Sam Madden. He's not the only one, though. There's a lot of beef on that front, and those five guys have done just a terrific job. Teams just have not been able to match up with them in B-South. And again, you know, as much as we know, Robbie likes to put it up, and he's had some great quarterbacks in the last few years at Barnegat. If you can run the ball like that, you run the ball like that.
And I give Rob Davis, the head coach, credit because he hasn't you know, gone to that aspect of his offensive philosophy, you know. He is being disciplined. If the ground game works, let's do it. And the second half of that game, they proved against Mondon that they could just get behind those big guys and run it down your throat.
Just a couple of other things as we scan back to week three. Manalapan rolling over Middletown North, setting up the game with Middletown South, who beat Howell 24-7, handing the Rebels their first loss. Colts Neck cruises by Marlboro. We'll talk about Jackson Brick Memorial in a moment, obviously. The game we did on last Friday night on the Sunday's Recycling Game of the Week right here on the quarter on the Hawks. Southern, a 35-7 winner over Toms River North. A very impressive bounce-back performance for the Rams, who had lost the week before to Toms River South.
And wish we had a webcam right now with what is going on. Air traffic controller Ed Sarluka.
He's too funny. I'll tell you what.
I'm trying to get their attention. They were looking the other way.
Well, they want to eat. We saw a real good game for Southern's Rob Yazer in that one. Red Bank Catholic rolling past St. John Vianney, 45-0. Lakewood blanking Pineland. Spotswood over Point Beach. Modern Day Topton Ellen. South River beating Keensburg. And then Central, an impressive winner over Point Borough. Jackson Liberty gets his first W. Good for Jim Sharples, the coach there, as they beat Manchester. Manasquan rolled past Raritan. Rumson paced at home. Del Wall rolled by Freehold. And Shore, a winner over Metuchen. So that kind of just goes back in time. And really, from now till we wrap up tonight, now we sort of take a look ahead at what's coming up. And we start with one of the nice stories early in the year, and that is the red and black from the Jackson Jaguars.
Yeah, the Jags right now 2-0, off to a very good start. Normally, we would probably be talking about their Week 4 matchup coming in with Toms River North, but Jackson had their first game of the season postponed with Manalapan, and they have that rescheduled. So as we welcome in a couple of defensive guys here tonight, kind of after your own heart, huh, tonight, Ed?
Yeah, I love it.
Ken Bradley, senior linebacker, Vinny Celedonio, also senior linebacker. Both guys kind of see their way on offense a little bit, but certainly known more for their defensive prowess. Guys, first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming down, or coming over, we should say. Ken, I'll start with you. Talk about how the season has gone up until this point. Obviously, two really good wins. But let's go into that week one, what should have been matchup with Manalapan. How disappointed or how difficult was it for you guys to not play that game week one?
As a team, we went in. We were really confident. We were feeling great. We know we had a good offseason. Everybody was in the weight room. Everybody was at all the offseason workouts. We improved a lot over the summer from last year, and going into the game, we were really fired up. We were ready to go, and seeing the game get postponed was definitely a confidence booster to see us just, we were ready to go. We weighed in, and we're ready for whatever game's next.
Vinny, I guess you would probably say that most of your summer and preseason with scrimmages was geared towards Manalapan, right?
Yeah.
And then the disappointment and, you know.
Yeah. We wish we could Play them, but, you know.
Well, you'll get your chance next week.
Yeah, next week you got them.
So let's think how the season has gone for you guys, Vinny. You have to kind of wait that week, and then all of a sudden you get on the field and kind of roll through Tom's River East. Last week kind of beat up Rick Memorial a little bit. So right now things for the Jaguars are pretty good.
Yeah, we're doing really good. We're practicing hard every day. You know, our offensive line pushing the line around, you know. Defensive line, just shooting their hands really good. And our coaches are just coaching us really well lately.
Okay, let's talk about one of the coaches, okay, came in with you tonight. Dad coaches the defense, right, coordinates the defense. As always, when a player plays for his dad, do you carry it over at home?
We try not to carry it over too much at home. I think he tries to carry it over less, but I think with as much film and as much as we both study, I kind of force it on him a little more to talk about it and stuff at home. And I know my mom wishes we would hold it off a little bit because she gets tired of hearing about it. But it's good to have him there. He's always there for encouragement, no matter if I do good, bad, or indifferent. He's always there to help me out no matter what my assignment is. And him coaching the D-line definitely helps. That makes our job a lot easier.
Tom Bradley, the defensive coordinator of Jackson here, talking with a couple of the co-captains for this year's JAG team, Ken Brandley, senior linebacker, and Vinny Celedonio, also senior linebacker. And that's not meant to insult either one of you guys because you both have an offensive position, but Vinny, we'll start this with you. You're really both considered more defensive guys, even though you might see some play over there every once in a while, right?
Yeah, we usually switch on every other series if we need a break or a breather, you know. We usually just switch on.
Ken, I was looking at the stats for you guys in the win last week over Brick Memorial. You must have done something good in practice because at least you got a couple of carries. You got yourself kind of in the stat column, right?
Yes. I think Coach wanted to reward me a little bit. I think, well, on defense especially, we've been playing well. We got a shutout week one, and we held them to only 7 points last week. And then on offense, Vinny and I both had some bruising blocks up through the middle and on the outside to spark some big runs. So I think Coach wanted to give us some of the ground game as well.
Well, you got the big guy, right? Kahani Glover, right?
Yeah.
I mean, having off to a tremendous year, so he's got to appreciate what you guys are doing up front as well as the offensive line.
Yeah, he thanks us a lot. Every touchdown, he's I remind him a lot. I told him, especially because he's in a couple of my classes, so I tell him, you know, if it wasn't for me, you might have got tackled on one of those spin moves. So
mention some of those guys up front that are opening those holes for Glover.
Yeah, a lot. We only have Sam Mastretta as a returning senior back from the offensive line from last year. And so he's the center. And then our right guard is Glenn Capilla. He stepped in. He did a lot of work in the offseason. He grew a lot, got a lot stronger. Tyler Roush stepped up. He's playing right tackle. Brad Greenway is playing left guard, and Cole Collins, who's the brother of our center from last year, Ben Collins, he's playing left tackle, and they all worked hard in the offseason. They got a lot bigger, stronger, and one of the big things they worked on was their footwork. Their footwork got a lot better. They're getting off their double teams, and they're working guys down the field, and it's opening up a lot of holes.
How difficult, and either one of you guys can take this, as you're known more for your defensive side, you know, the offense has put up 76 points in the first 2 weeks. And though we both mentioned that you guys are both involved with the offense, the defense has only given up seven. You know, it's one of those things where you play great defense all the time, a shutout and 7 points, but if the offense puts up that many points, that's usually the number that everyone kind of looks at first, right?
Yeah, you know, people always look at the offense because those are the guys putting points on the board. They're the ones making the highlight plays. But we pride ourselves on our defense, and our offensive coaches and offensive players thank us for keeping that spread a little bit wider so they can always put more points on the board.
Vinny, the Jackson program has been one of the better ones in the Shore. You've had some down years, you know. Last year was a down year coming off of an 8-2 year when you guys were sophomores. But, you know, the tradition of Jackson is to win, win, and win, you know, and win championships, of course, under Chris Barnes and then later on when he left to go to Wall. It continued. Now you got an ex-player there, Coach Cristoffel. Tell us a little bit about that program and what it means to you to play in it now as seniors.
Well, it means a lot to me to play for the Jackson Jaguars and be part of that history. Yep. And for our coaches to be here with us from the past, it just, we just cherish it. We just want to be what they had, like, have what they had in the past, state championships, and just playing hard-mouth football.
Tell, who did you look up to in those early years when you guys were, like, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, you know, when you used to go to those games? Who were you watching out there?
Well, I remember I went to my first Jackson football game when I was 5. My dad was a teacher in Jackson, and one of the guys I looked up to was Joe Saratelli and Nick Castellano.
Great linebackers. Great linebackers.
Both of those guys are tough, hard-nosed, and they really represented the Jackson tradition. And then into the 2000s, some of our coaches now even were some of the big guys that I like to watch. Coach Lavin, Joe Sella, Coach Brown, Dan Hopkins, all those guys were influential on our life.
Vinny?
I looked up to Joe Sella just because hit hard every play. He just went all out every single play.
Did Joe go to Monmouth?
He did.
He did,
yeah.
Right. He went to Monmouth. You know, Matt does the Monmouth games on the radio, you know. And it's, hey, you beat a good program last week, Brick Memorial. You know, the first game against Tom's Reese, they were struggling, you know. I have to ask you, what did you think about East last week, the East Lacey game? I'm sure you had one eye on the score the next day, you know, scoring 42 points against the Lions. Because you played them, East.
Yeah. We were, I mean, we just got to take one week at a time and not look through the week, you know. Just got to focus on Toms River North and just keep on rolling.
Right. But that was a pass game, you know. You had to say, oh, you know, we shut this team out. They score 42 against Lacey. Got to make you feel a little better, right?
Yeah, it makes you feel a little better, you know.
Ken Bradley, Vinny Celedonia, the two of the co-captains for this Jackson Jaguar team, giving us a few minutes here on our Thursday night football show. Ken, I know any coach, and if Coach Krastopic is listening to you tonight, he's going to say the right answer to this question. You have Toms River North on the schedule this week. I know that's the focus, but you'd be half lying, I think, if you didn't look at what's coming up. I mean, the schedule for you guys becomes murderous after this game. Manalapan, Toms River South, Lacey, Southern, and Brick. All pretty good football teams, but again, kind of goes into, take Manalapan out of the mix, A-South is locked and loaded pretty much every week.
Yeah, well, like you said, A-South is always one of the toughest divisions, not only in the shore, but even in the state. You could take any team out of the A-South, put them in another division in the shore conference, and they'd be competitive. They're all tough teams, hard-nosed, well-coached, tradition of winning in most of those teams, and that's what they're used to. So we just got to take it one game at a time. Right now we're focused on Toms River North. That's our game tomorrow night, and that's what we've been focused on since after the game from Brick Memorial. That was our focus, and that's what we're looking forward to.
Ken, I got to ask you, you're one of the top wrestlers in the shore, if not the state. Compare the two sports.
It's a totally different beast, especially on your body. Wrestling, you got to keep your weight down. You got to stay disciplined to eat the right foods, and you always practice every day is just different. It's on your body. Wrestling is a different grueling, and the pounding on your body is both in football and wrestling. They're both tough, but I love both sports. I've been doing them since I was young.
Well, let me ask you about weight. What do you weigh now, and what will you weigh that first tournament, you know, in December?
Right now I'm weighing about 205, 210.
Okay.
Going into the first tournament in December, I'm still contemplating on what weight I'm going. Okay. Depends on how I finish the football season, but I might certify at 195 and wrestle most of the season at 220.
Okay, not losing a whole
lot. It's a good thing when you're that good as a wrestler, you can say, I'm still figuring out what weight class I want to be in, and then we'll work everything from there. So, Vinny, Toms River North this week, the Mariners have struggled a little bit. They look like they're in a little bit of a down period, but as Ken had already said, not an opponent that you guys can really look past.
Yeah, we can't look past them. We've been working really hard, watching film, studying what they do, what they're like, anything to help us on like defense, offense, or anything.
What has been different, Ken, this year? You know, Ed had mentioned a down year last year at 3-7, just the third losing season in the last 15 years for the program. What's been different even through the first couple weeks of the season that makes you believe this could be a year that you get back into that 7-8-9 win mark?
I believe this year our attitude as a team is different. We're definitely playing together as one. Like we like to say, we're playing as a fist right now. Last year, we still had that open hand mentality. Right now, we're playing as a fist, as a team. We're playing as a family. We all do things together on and off the field, and I think that's helping out our camaraderie on the field.
Let's talk a little bit about, not this year, but next year. Aspirations of playing football, wrestling. Vinny, we'll start with you.
I'm not sure yet. I'm still looking around, you know. But whatever I could get, you know.
Do you want to play in college?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's just like I have to see what's coming, you know.
Yeah. Ken?
Yeah, I'm still looking to play in college. I've been talking to a couple of schools, Yale, Lehigh, Princeton, Johns Hopkins, Stonehill.
So no grades then in school, right?
No. My parents definitely always have, not just me, but my sisters in general.
Nothing wrong with that, believe me.
Yeah.
But you're going towards football, not wrestling.
Yes, I've been wrestling since I was a little kid, and I love the sport, but I don't plan on wrestling in college.
You don't want to cut weight in college, right?
No.
You don't have to worry about that.
No.
Guys, want to thank you so much for coming down. I know it was a little bit of a ride over. Good luck this season, this week, against Tom's River North. Looking forward to seeing you guys down the line. Off to a great start tomorrow night. Tom's River North should be a good one for both of you guys.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you, Bradley.
Ken Bradley and Vinny Celedonio coming down and talking Jackson Jaguar football. We'll step out here and take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some Big Red football. Not black and red, just square up Big Red. The ocean guy should be in the house right after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.
All right, and the ocean guys are in the house. We'll let them get their headsets on, and we'll kind of set the scene. It is we're getting set for week four of Shore Conference High School football. We, of course, every Thursday night here at Baker's Water Street Grill in downtown Tom's River. They've got all the stuff on TV, the baseball game, President's Cup golf. You got Thursday night football tonight, Browns and Bills in Cleveland. All of that good stuff. But, of course, we talk high school football still to come. Our spotlight with Scott Stump will take a look at the big games of this weekend. Monmouth University head coach Kevin Callahan, Brick's outstanding player Ray Fattaruso, who had a big hand last week in that win over Tom's River South. Of course, our weekend preview, our football picks all coming up. But it is time to a little Big Red. An area you're kind of familiar with.
Yeah,
coached
a little up there.
Yeah, you spent a little time up there. It's one of the 27 places that you were at in your career.
Come on.
And we're joined by their coach, Don Klein, and outstanding senior linebacker. By the way, you know, we had mentioned this, but both Ken Bradley and this young man were members of our Fab 44 a year ago. As underclassmen. And that, of course, is, I hope I say it right, Dan Loizos.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, and good to have you both here. Coach, so you're in the car, and you heard him say, "Coach, you guys will be in the house."
Yeah,
ran a red light or two.
Just twice, and we got here in one piece. We're okay, so we're happy to be here and represent Big Red.
Well, it's been a nice start for you. Good start to the season. Share with us your thoughts going into this year and where you're at. And did you expect this?
Well, it's my seventh year as head coach, and I had a real good feeling coming off last season with the players that we returned that we would be pretty competitive. But the schedule we play and the coaches we face, the players, they do a great job also. So we were cautiously optimistic that we would get off to a good start, and it's worked out in our favor. So we're pretty happy where we're at right now.
Danny, couple of big defensive efforts the last 2 weeks, you know, against some real good, tough speed teams. You know, Neptune and Mattawan. Tell us a little bit about that defensive effort.
Yeah, we definitely played real well in those two games. We switched up our defense a little bit. We went in a nickel front, and we disrupted them. We sent a lot of pressure at Neptune, came at Mattawan too, and we shut it down.
Now, both games won in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that never quit attitude, right?
Yeah, we have an attitude we bend, but we never break, and we gave up only 3 points in those two games, and we played really tough.
You know, being North, obviously, one of the goals is always you want to win your division championship. You'd like to do that. And you know going in, two of the tougher games you have are in week two and week three. And while you're not taking a breath right now, Coach, it's got to be good to get through that first part of the gauntlet and win those two games.
Yeah, no, I think it really sets us up to be in a good spot moving forward. I mean, there are still, you know, Long Branch and Wall and even Freehold Borough, you know, those programs are really strong down the road. And one of the things we talked about this season, though, is just worrying about what's in front of us. And I think so often you get worried about what happened in the past or what you look forward to the future. And right now we're living in the moment and we're worried about JFK this week. But if we can reflect on a little bit, to beat Neptune and Mattawan back-to-back weeks on the road, that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Coach, after JFK, Islin on the road, three big home games when you face, you know, those Red Bank and Long Branch, those big rivalry towns that border you guys. Always nice to play those home games. Nothing more richer in tradition than a home game in Ocean.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have obviously a new field this year, which is beautiful, and you know, kids are excited about it. Our student body and our community is real excited about the team this year. I think our support's been tremendous. So an opportunity to get back at home after this week for a few weeks is going to be welcomed.
Danny, you play offense?
Yeah, I'm a fullback.
Fullback, okay. Yeah. Carrying the ball up?
Not too much.
He's a blocker.
Not with guys like Thompson and Moore, right,
yeah,
running the football.
More of a blocker for them, but I get the ball a little bit.
You know, it's interesting, Kevin, how our guests tonight, you know, Bradley and Celedonio, both, you know, those fullback type kids, you know, who are blocking for great backs. You also have a good one in Tyler Thompson. Tell us a little bit about those running backs and your quarterback.
Yeah, Tyler's a great back. Royal's a great back. They're young right now. They're definitely getting a lot of experience, and they're just learning now, and they're definitely excelling right now.
Thompson's a soft and Moore?
Junior. Yeah.
But, of course, let's talk a little defense because I know that's what you like the best. Let's talk a little bit about the guys that are on that group of 11 with you on the field that have, you know, have helped you with these two big wins and what you hope is some big wins down the stretch.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of guys who stepped up this year. Frank Henry came in here. He's an upcoming junior right now. He's playing great. You guys know Halawani. He's wreaking havoc back there, sacks and everything. Miles Moody didn't play last year. He came back as a senior. He's definitely killing it. And we're just all playing as a team, doing our assignments and getting it done.
Still call them the Assassins?
Yeah, we got
right.
The Assassins.
Hey,
right. Yeah.
Impressed I remembered that.
Yeah, well, that's part of the tradition. We keep that going.
There you go.
And Danny was I think, the first member this year, and he is Lieutenant Dan Loizos as his assassin name. So.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned tradition. You know, when we say, and you know, schools come and go, and, you know, it's great when teams have success, but there's always something to me, and I, you know, I'm old school and I'm an old guy. It's always something about when those programs that have had success continue or maybe have a little burp and then come back. There's something special about it. You are one of those programs that we're just accustomed to Friday nights at that field. So special, the grill going, the smoke blowing, you can smell the burgers from a mile away.
Right, sure. I mean, that's one of the things that makes Ocean Township such a wonderful place and a wonderful program is the tradition that we do have. And there's a lot of traditions that we've carried on from Coach Conte. You know, we're fortunate to be in a program that's had a lot of success. And the kids know what the expectation is. The expectation has never changed. It hasn't changed since 1983 when Coach Conte started. It's that we're going to play competitive football. We're going to be involved in the hunt for divisional championships, state championships on a yearly basis. And we feel strong about our team this year.
Tell us a little bit about JFK Islin. I mean, out of the area, nobody's going to know anything about him.
Yeah, well, the problem is that they, you know, nobody knows much about them, and they do present some problems. The tailback, I believe, is a transfer from Don Bosco, and he does a really good job. They do feature him. He carried the ball 46 times two weeks ago in a game.
Wow.
Last week, they showed a different offense. They were multiple eye before, and now all of a sudden they're in the spread, and they did some different things. So they're in a much improved team from last year, and we have our work cut out for us again on Friday night.
Danny, next year, looking forward to playing?
I haven't decided yet, but I'm definitely looking around, seeing I might play.
Tell them where you visited, Danny.
Yeah, I visited Franklin Marshall. That's
my alma mater, so I'm trying to get a little pipeline there.
He's pulling for that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work out.
Same coach?
No, it's a different coach. I played for the old school guy that was there, and they have a new coach now, but the guy does a great job, and it'd be a great place for Danny.
You know, you mentioned George Conte. Does he come around anymore? He's retired.
Right. And I'll tell you what, Coach has a lot going on these days, even more so than when he maybe worked. He is retired, but he's got a lot of other things going on with his family and on his plate. But he does make time to come by. He was at our game on Friday night.
Great.
He came by practice yesterday. He came by practice the week before. He pops in maybe once a week. And I told him I hadn't seen him. Usually I see him on Tuesdays, and he didn't come this past Tuesday. He came yesterday, and I told him, listen, we got this thing rolling now. Make sure you're here once a week and give us a pep talk. You know?
What did you learn from him?
I think one of the things that Coach – well, I think I've taken a lot from him. Coach is a big reason why I am the head coach right now, and I think he's a big fan of me and what we do. But I think perspective is one thing, and I think attention to detail is another. Coach is legendary, obviously, for his teams. But one of the things that they say was that nobody's more prepared, and his kids were never more prepared. And I think that we've carried that on from a preparation standpoint, in that making sure that we pay attention to detail and we try to put the kids in a position to be successful.
Has anything surprised you in the B North this year so far? I guess you would maybe Wall. Right.
Yeah.
3-0 off to a 3-0 start.
Yeah. I think they have a good team. I know the tailback's a pretty good player. The quarterback.
Michelli,
yeah.
Right.
The quarterback's really matured, from what I understand. He's really progressed, and they have a couple physical kids. So, Wall getting off to a 3-0 start. I know they have a big game tomorrow night. I think we'll find out a lot about both Palm Branch and Wall tomorrow night with that game. I think it's a big one in B North. So we'll see. But LB and Neptune and Mattawan and Wall and us and Pretty good program.
That's why they say one at a time, right?
That's it, man. Got to do it.
Dan, let me ask you, and we have not asked any players about this, but I know there's a new rule this year with the NJSIAA with the, I guess they call it the bullying and the conversation. Do the officials talk to you before each game? We're told that they sort of get, I guess, with the captains together, and they kind of give you the rundown on what they're talking about. Do they do that?
Yeah, every game they definitely do that. Gets a little monotonous, but...
Is it the same spiel?
Same speech every time.
Yeah, they have their little cards.
Yeah,
give us a sense so we know. What are they saying to you?
It's mostly about you can't talk smack about any, gender, religion, all that stuff, and race, whatever. So that's mainly what it is.
Kind of putting you alert. I believe going into last weekend, they had thrown, 22 penalties across the state for violations of that. Any of the games you've had?
No. We've heard some of the things that have gone on. I think what ends up happening with kids is that they watch college football, they watch pro football. When it's Ohio State, Michigan, when it's Florida State, when you get those rivalries, the kids try to mimic some of those things. And I think the rule's done a good job of trying to limit that, and it'll get the message across.
Yeah, because you don't want to get hit with a penalty or lose a player at a critical moment.
That'd be the worst thing in the world, man. We work too hard for that.
Coach, mentioned some of your assistants that have got you to where you are right now.
Listen, the success we have is not because of me, it's because of we. And Mark Tomo is doing a wonderful job as a defensive coordinator. A coach was with us. He played for the Big Red, and then he coached with us. He went to Albright for a year as an assistant at the college level and came back. He's doing a wonderful job. Jim Simonelli, also on the defensive side of the ball, is coaching up the linebackers. And both those guys, Coach Tomo and Coach Sim, coach on the offensive line offensively. John Delapesca is our offensive coordinator. He's doing a great job in keeping things multiple. Pat O'Neill with the defensive backs, and Joe Barnacle with the defensive backs and wide receivers. And then Sippy Apicelli, the wrestling coach and baseball coach at Ocean Township, has come on and helped out a little bit, too, with different roles. So, overall, I think guys are really working hard. But, hats off the last couple of weeks to the effort and the attention of Coach Mark Tomo and Jim Simonelli.
Coach, talk a little bit about the conversations over in the off season about moving more from the wide out to the quarterback spot.
Yeah, well, that was something that we thought about last year also, because Royal's a unique athlete. He can create plays with his feet, but he has a real good arm. He has a strong arm, and his release is effortless. So we just thought, this could be a real good opportunity for us to get the ball in his hands more, for him to be able to make more plays for us, obviously the quarterback spot, because some of the things we do offensively. And we thought we had enough depth at wide out to not lose too much if we did move him. Guys like Cole Mayer, guys like Jair Bernier, Zach Godfrey, Ryan McGuckin, Marcus Blackman, those guys out there at wide receiver are doing a good job. And they're kind of helping alleviate some of that movement with moving Royals to quarterback.
Dan, I want to ask you, we've had unusually warm weather. I mean, here we are sitting here in early October. You could be on the beach. Has it been a problem at all? I mean, would you rather have that, you know, 65-degree cool days when you get to the practice field as opposed to lower and even yesterday mid-80s?
I mean, it's not really that bad. Compared to the summer, 2 days like that, it's like 90 degrees. It's real bad. But right now, it's not really a factor.
But you know it's coming to an end soon, right? Before
yeah,
we know
no,
it, right?
It can't continue. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah, it is. It's the world's upside down. You know who No'Shawn Marino is, right?
Yes.
Of course. And last year, Thompson, the first back since No'Shawn to run for 1,000 yards. You had to take some pride, you know, as a freshman in the Shore Conference. You had to take some pride in that because, you know, big part of it.
Definitely. I was real proud of Tyler. He came in as a freshman. He was a little nervous at first, but he definitely grew up throughout the year, and he played great.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yep.
You know, and Danny's a big part of that. I mean, obviously,
exactly.
The offensive line, you know, this year with Jack Morris and John Walsh and Blake Demeter and Luke Roman and Miles Moody are doing a great job. But Danny's been our starting fullback for 3 years. I mean, Danny finally it really committed himself to the weight room this offseason and got up to about 197, 200 pounds. But there was a time where he was doing it at a buck 60, buck 65. So, you know, Danny's a selfless player. He's a tremendous player. He's our heartbeat. But offensively, too, what he's willing to give up of himself to give those skilled guys an opportunity to make plays is really incredible.
Okay, two-part question. Give us the last 2 minutes last week and who made the call on the screen pass.
The conversation, well, I'll tell you what, you know, we you know, the stats didn't really show. We felt pretty good about what we were doing offensively going into halftime with our last drive, and then some things happened in the second half. We went for it on a fourth down where we missed an opportunity, and we didn't win first down. But the last 3 minutes, I believe it was a second down play call. I told Coach Del Pesca, our coach, he actually said he wanted to get in 10 personnel. I told him that I wanted a screen. He said, where? I said, down here. And we signaled it in, and the rest is history.
See, that's what head coaches do. They make those tough decisions.
Yeah.
55-yard touchdown, by the way, on the screen.
As he gets the ball, I mean, do you know it's there? I mean,
Yeah, we knew it was there. It was there before. We actually called it earlier in the game, and we didn't get out. It was off different action in the backfield. But this time, you know, Royal hung in there well. You know, I thought the blocking was real good with their timing. And then once we got the ball out there, there was one guy left that we had a hat on him. We had about four guys in front. And then, you know, Tyler made a couple guys miss towards the end and finished the run.
Nice feeling.
Were you in there, Dan?
Are you looking right away to make sure there's no flags, right?
Oh, that's the first thing I always look for, man. You know, on any big play, on any play at all, I'm always looking to see if there's a flag down.
Were you in there on that?
I was not in on that play.
Oh, you were not in on that play. Okay.
No.
Because I was going to say, the fullback usually goes the other way anyway on screens, right?
Yeah. No, it's again, we had it earlier in the game in a personnel package where Danny was in the game, but this time we got in our 10 and he wasn't.
Talking with Coach Don Klein and senior fullback and linebacker Dan Loizos from Ocean. If I'm correct, last year early, was you at the game where you had a fourth
yes.
of the game?
Yes. Yeah. Week two against Neptune.
That's right.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate.
With the skin situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
How much did that disjoint your entire season?
You know what? I thought the kids did a real good job of responding. I think last year was a really difficult year on a lot of different levels for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, especially for us, because week two we did have a situation where we had a skin issue and we kind of shut the program down for that week. And then with Hurricane Sandy and some of the things that went on there as well. But, you know, if you look at it, I thought our kids, you know, really hung with it and did a real good job of staying the course.
You know, I did one real quick one. I know you talked about Conte and what you learned from him. I bet you the screen pass was one of them that you learned because he was infamous for his screen passes, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, Coach and I don't talk as much X's and O's as people might think. When he comes out, it's more of a philosophical program thing where he wants to talk to the kids and remind them what it means to be part of Big Red. But, you know, yeah, I mean, the timing on the screenplay, he will give once in a while. He'll give a couple pointers there on what he likes to see.
Yeah. He used to love those screens.
He is a man to treasure, I'll tell you what. I go back to him when he was an assistant coach at Central, my alma mater. So it's great that he still stays around and that you welcome him into the program.
Always,
you know, you're glad to have him there.
Yeah, it's not, you know, like we talk about, the program and the tradition and the guys that came before, we're very fortunate. Again, me and my seventh year as head coach, you can ask Danny, we have a lot of guys that feel strongly about the program and come back. And that means a lot to the kids. I mean,
absolutely.
It's across all levels. We had Lou Eliadis at practice the other day, came by, you know, and Brandon Robinson, who played for me a few weeks ago. A lot of the guys come back. A lot of the guys will tweet or text, you know, the players and coaches after games. So it's a real good feeling.
Well, listen, I appreciate you running down here. I hope you can stay and have something to eat. If not, I understand.
No, we're planning on it.
All right, good. Okay. Got to get them up over 200,
that's
right?
That's right. We can't be losing any weight here during the season.
Well, good luck against JFK tomorrow night and the rest of the way. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again. Thanks so much, guys.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. From the Big Red. Head coach Don Klein and Dan Loises. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll chat with Scott Stump. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show at 105.7 The Hawk. Well, we've done a little Jackson Jaguars, Ocean Spartans still coming up, some Brick Green Dragons, and even some Monmouth University Hawks. But now the guy who's all things to all teams. He doesn't have a nickname, except, we got to come up with a nickname for him.
Stumper.
Stumpy.
I don't know.
Stumpy now.
I guess
Stumper.
He does his stumpies at the end of the year. He calls him that. But
the Stump.
He is a huge part of the Shore Sports Network. And, of course, you hear him here. You can go on shoresportsnetwork.com and read and see his stuff daily. He's got his picks for the weekend up there already. And we're going to tap into that a little bit as we welcome in Scott Stump. And how are you tonight there, Stumpy, Stump, or whatever they want to call you?
It's usually Stumpy, although now I'm kind of getting a little old.
I was going to say, really.
It's like a college nickname, and it sounds I've kind of outlived that one, I think.
I kind of like picture you at Will Ferrell in Old School with that nickname, you know, streaking down the quad. But anyway, listen,
we're going streaking.
Hey, we got to look. I kind of saved it for when you were on, but clearly there is, and there's several really interesting matchups, but clearly there is a titanic matchup on the schedule this weekend, and that is, of course, two of the top teams at the Shore. I don't think there's any doubt about it. In a battle of 2-0 squads, Middletown South heads to Manalapan tomorrow night. So let's get your thoughts on that one in Class A North.
Yeah, it's definitely the most anticipated regular season game of this season so far, I would say by far. Manalapan has an 18-game divisional winning streak. You know, they've been unbeaten in A-North the last 3 years, and how many teams could say they beat Middletown South 4 times in a row, which is what Manalapan is attempting to do. Clearly it's also a huge game, you know, when you're talking about power points and getting home games in the playoffs for that, but last year was an incredible game, 35-31 at the Swamp, won by Manalapan, came down to the final seconds. A lot of the same players from that game are back. So, you know, I think it's going to be just another tremendous atmosphere, another great game. Middletown South made a few miscues in that game last year. You know, he fumbled near the end and made the mistake of punting to Saeed Blacknall, who returned it 85 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, you feel like if they can clean up those mistakes, I mean, again, this thing should really go right down to the finish.
Scott, the Brick big win over Toms River South last week has taken a little luster off of the Lacey-Toms River South game, our game of the week tomorrow night, but talk a little bit about that one.
Well, if you love offense, I would imagine that would be the game for you. I mean, Lacey just... it barely escaped 45-42 against Toms River East. And I think the feeling out there is that Toms River South has an even better offense than they do. So, I mean, that game could go, you know, 60-57. When you look at, you know, Lacey has such an explosive group led by their senior quarterback, Tom Kelly, who leads the Shore in passing yards. And then you have the biggest issue was Lacey could not stop the run game last week, and that's what Toms River South does best. Tymir Barry, their quarterback, one of the most elusive and exciting players out there. And then Khalil Green, another great player out on the perimeter. Otis Carney pounding it up the middle. It'll be interesting which defense can come up with the most stops and or turnovers or see if that game just gets completely wild.
You know, it's interesting, Scott. I have really become a big fan of Tom Kelly. You know, when we mentioned, you know, a lot of the quarterbacks, and especially the guys who run so well. And, you know, Ed and I were on the sidelines last week for that game. And I'll tell you, he throws as good a football as you will see. And I think Ed will back me up. He threw 2 touchdown passes on balls where he threw it the only place the receiver could get it. They were right on the money.
Oh, he's definitely one of the most improved players in the Shore Conference in the last 2 years. I mean, you guys probably remember seeing him as a sophomore when he really struggled. before, you know, their offensive coordinator, Corey Davies, came in, and he made this quantum leap forward last year. But it's not only the, you know, the some of the great downfield throws, and Christian Tutela, obviously, his main wide receiver, is a tremendous player as well. It's the efficiency. I mean, you look down at the end of the game, and he's 17 for 22, 21 for 25. I mean, he barely throws an incompletion. Everything is precise, and he can hurt you running the ball if you're not careful. So he's really improved a lot, and I think that's a testament to his work ethic that he's put in, that he's really a self-made player. You know, he's a solid athlete, but he's not, you know, some amazing athlete that's doing it all just with, you know, God-given athletic ability. He's worked really hard to make himself into an excellent player. And as we know, you know, in Corey Davies' system, he's going to, if you're a good quarterback, you're going to put up some crazy numbers.
Scott, when you, I'm not sure if you listened to the beginning of the show, but we were talking a little bit about the differences between A South, which has been a high-scoring division, and B North, which has been a low-scoring division. And the two games that are involving the four B North teams in those two matchups this week, Wall at Long Branch, Mattawan at Neptune, I think after this point of the season, we'll now really start to figure out just maybe what road some of these teams will take.
Definitely. I mean, for Neptune, this is pretty much do or die. I mean, they've already have two division losses. So if Mattawan pins another one on them, they're pretty much out of the race. And then they got to worry about just even qualifying for the playoffs, because that would put them at 1-3. You know, Mattawan can still fight to keep his chances alive, because don't forget, last year this was a shared division title. So just because you get one division loss doesn't mean you're out of it. The way these games have been going, you know, that could be another 7-3, 7-0 kind of game, because of how well Mattawan and Neptune's defenses have been playing and how much those teams have kind of struggled to throw the ball and have been one-dimensional running teams. I think the team everyone's really interested to see if they're for real is Wall. 3-0 start, and their offense has looked the best of any team in that division, averaging 28 points a game. Their defense only given up 14 points in three games. If they go into Long Branch and knock them off, I think you would start to say, on paper at least, that it looks like it's going to come down to Ocean and Wall, although there's still a lot of, you know, really good matchups out there. But I think the thing with Long Branch, they have a really young offense, a whole new line, and Coach Danny George was even saying last week it's still a big work in progress offensively for them. Their defense has to carry them. So the question is, can they muster enough offense against this Wall defense to get a win tomorrow night?
Scott, last year the feel-good story of the year was Point Pleasant Beach. This year it's got to be Modern Day. Tell us a little bit about that program.
Yeah, I mean, they're off to their best start since 1986 when they won seven games. They were 7-3 that year. I mean, they started 4-0. They're 3-0 now. I mean, it's completely transformed from last year. They scored 125 points all of last season. In three games this year, they have 121. And, you know, they scored 49 in the win over Dunellen in their last game to improve to 3-0. That's the most they've ever scored in a game since 1972 against a high school that doesn't even exist anymore. So, you know, it's been a lot of the transfers they've gotten from North Jersey. You know, they've gotten some kids to come in from Rahway, Linden, you know, Jelani Mitchell, Tyson White, guys like that that have really given them some explosiveness on the perimeter, plus returning veterans like their quarterback, Christian Palmer, and, you know, Sam Miles, another solid running back. And then they got, you know, some good freshmen that have come in and really helped them right away. But I think the biggest thing is they have a lot more team speed right now, and their offense is just completely different from what it has been the last couple of years when they really struggled to score. And it's going to be an interesting battle against Point Beach, the defending B Central champ, whose offense has struggled to score after graduating that tremendous backfield. Something's going to have to give. I mean, either Modern Day speed is going to be too much for Point Beach and they're going to have a major statement win, or the Beach's defense will really put the clamps down and the offense will get the running game going. But I think that's quietly one of the most intriguing games of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I was going to say, if I would have told you 3 or 4 years ago that in week four of the season, Modern Day Prep would visit Point Beach in a key conference game, you would have said to me,
You know, we're going to take you to rehab. This isn't really an intervention. We're just your friends. Yep. That's what I would have said.
We're taking them there anyway,
we're
Scott.
We're going there. Hey, let me give you, Scott, let me give you another big game this weekend, and that is Brick at Southern. Brick coming off the emotional win over Toms River South is 2-1, but they are a perfect 2-0 in Class A South. Southern, meanwhile, after losing to South, bounce back to beat Toms River North, and I think you would agree cannot afford a second division loss.
Right, but, I mean, this is the whole gist of A South. You can't relax. Like, you pat yourself on the back for a great win, but the second you start celebrating it too much, you could get knocked off a week later. I mean, it definitely keeps teams focused because, you know, top to bottom, it's probably the Shore's best division, but somebody has to finish in sixth place and fifth place, and that could be a good team. So, you know, Brick can't let the foot off the throttle after a great performance against Toms River South. And you know, Southern, like you said, this is their chance to get right back into the thick of things. So, you know, it'll definitely be an interesting game as far as who can establish the running game. Obviously, Brick was tremendous last week with Carmen Sclafani and Ray Fattoruso. And then you guys saw Rob Yazer had a great game for Southern. So, obviously, it's going to be really important who wins that battle up front. But, you know, that's the thing about A South. Every week I feel like you're going to have one of these matchups where you got a lot of tremendous players. And don't forget Mike Gesicki, you know, the huge X factor. He makes a couple plays in that game, puts Brick behind the eight ball, and it can get really interesting. I just think A South is one of the more compelling divisions week to week because there's just so many quality teams.
By the way, you can get Scott's thoughts on all the games this week if you go to ShoreSportsNetwork.com. My guess is tomorrow you're in Manalapan.
That is correct. And then, you know, it's funny. Saturday, I really considered hopping on a plane and flying to Chicago for the Northwestern Ohio State game. But instead, I will be at Warrior Field for Manasquan taking St. John Vianney.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same kind of appeal, but that's okay. All right, well, listen,
You need me more at Shore Sports Network. I just get off the places at the last minute without a second thought.
And we'll talk about that later. Hey, listen, all kidding aside, we'll be following you tomorrow on Twitter, of course, with the updates from Manalapan and Middletown South. And we'll talk to you later. Have a great football weekend. Thanks, Scott.
All right, guys. You too. Have a great weekend.
All right, Scott Stump from All Shore Media. He heads on his way, Matt Harmon. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into real familiar territory for you. Monmouth University, the Hawks rolling a little bit. And can they get a home win on Saturday? But first, we'll take a quick timeout, and then we'll come back and we'll talk with Monmouth coach Kevin Callahan. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. Back-to-back wins for the Monmouth Hawks coming on the road as they beat Holy Cross 2 weeks ago, and then last week headed into New York and took care of Columbia 37-14. Now 2-3, Monmouth comes home on Saturday at Kessler Field, looking to even their season record when they host Robert Morris, a 1 o'clock kickoff on what should be a gorgeous Saturday. And the head coach of Monmouth University in his 21st season is Kevin Callahan. He's good enough to join us tonight. Coach, back-to-back wins. The bounce in the step was good last week, probably even a little better this week.
It is a little bit better, guys. And, you know, I'll tell you what, you know, everybody's been telling me that we're on a roll, but we're almost on a roll. We're not quite there yet. We're getting better. This game is very important to us. If we can get this third one to add to what we've done in the last 2 weeks, you know, I think we're putting something together. You know, and the big thing is I think our team is starting to take on an identity. You know, we're playing good defense. We're giving the ball to our offense in good field position. And we're able to run the ball. And anytime you can do those three things, you know, you have a good chance of being successful.
Coach, 5 turnovers and 9 sacks by the defense. You're going to win most games when that happens.
Well, it takes a defensive coach like you to see that. And, you know, you can appreciate that. But, you know, when you do those type of things, you're right. You're going to win most games. And the truth of the matter is, you know, we've really gotten our front line on the defense really pushing up the field, pressuring the quarterback. And when we can, and on the other side of it, when we can run the ball and eat up time of possession like we have been, and it's been really unbalanced. You know, the other team, they have to throw the ball. And when they throw the ball, if we can rush a passer and we can, you know, stop them on third down, we're going to be in a good spot.
Coach, that has been a key the last couple of weeks, talking about the defense and the pass rush for sure. And as we talked about on our Tuesday night show, you really have it from both ends right now. Darnell Leslie, the very talented sophomore, and Pat O'Hara on the other side, the senior. Both guys had unbelievable weeks a week ago.
They really did. I mean, you know, they really cranked it up a notch. And, you know, they each had two sacks. Pat was on four strip sacks of the quarterback. Darnell, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, an interception. And that just goes to show you, you know, when it's certainly always easier to cover people when your defensive line is putting pressure on the quarterback. And when your guys are covering people, it's easier for the defensive line to get to the quarterback. And I think that's where we're starting to come of age a little bit. I hope we are anyways. And we're making giant steps on defense. As I said earlier, I think we're really starting to develop an identity as a team.
Coach, finally an opponent that, you know, when you have those coaches' meetings, you could look back over the years and say, okay, this is what they do. The 19th time you have played Robert Morris, so a familiar foe this week.
Very familiar. You know, we're extremely familiar with Robert Morris. We've played him since 1994. But on the other hand, Ed, they're very familiar with us.
Yes.
Each one of the games, maybe except with the exception of four, have come down to a less than 5-point differential, and it usually goes into the fourth quarter. In the last 3 years, you know, last year we won 26-21, had to stop them on the last play of the game on the goal line for the win. The year before that, they won 23-20. The year before that, they won 17-16 when we didn't convert a field goal at the end of the game. So it's going to be one of those type of games. Each team knows each other very well. We know the personality. We know the type of game it's going to be. It's going to be a physical, knockdown, go to the fourth quarter game, and our guys are really excited about that.
You have stood across the sidelines from Robert Morris coach Joe Walton on many an occasion. Of course, Walton with a long football coaching career, playing and coaching career, of course, including time in the NFL. But when you do that on Saturday at Kessler Field, it will be the final time as he is retiring this year. Little bit, I won't say that it'll be sentimental, but it will be a little bit strange for you.
It'll be a little bit sad, you know, to be honest with you guys. We've coached against each other for the last 19 years. Joe Walton is a great man. He's an excellent football coach, but he's a great man. I respect him tremendously. I've always loved competing against his teams. And as he said on the Monmouth Football Radio show on Tuesday night when he called in, he's been to 62 preseason training camps. Now, let's just take a minute and digest that. 62 preseason training camps. That's a lot longer than I've been alive, and this man has been in training camps. He started his coaching career right at Monmouth University, or Monmouth College back in the day, when Alex Webster hired him as an assistant with the New York Giants. He's a very, very genuine person. I respect him tremendously, but I want to beat him on Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, Coach, talking to him the other night. Seems like he is, you know, I think ready probably to step away and maybe leaving at a good time for him where he can still enjoy some of his life. When you think about what Monmouth has to do to continue this winning streak to, as you said, kind of make sure it is a roll. And I would say the recipe pretty similar to what you've done the last couple of weeks. Heavy doses of running the football, throw when you have to, and keep getting the defensive side of the football better each week.
You're right, Matt, and as I told our team this week, keep doing what we're doing, put it very simply. And that's not going to be easy. You know, Robert Morris is traditionally a very physical, very tough defense. John Banaszak, their defensive coordinator, a guy who played in the Steel Curtain defense and the defensive line, he is going to make it very difficult for us to run the ball. He will do whatever he can to take us out of that, which means we have to go to our weapons in the pass game, and we're prepared to do that. But on the other side of the ball, you know, we've got to continue to get stops, and we've got to get the ball back to our offense in positive field position where they can make something of it. We got to set up their drives. It's going to be a great game, and we're all looking forward to it.
Coach, obviously much has been made of the running back tandem of Julian Hayes and KB Asante the last 3 weeks. Just been incredible. But I'm wondering the success that has happened the last 2 weeks, is that as much a result of the three teams you had to play early in the year getting you ready for this point of the season as anything else?
I think there's a large portion of it that you can directly credit to that, Kevin. We played three very, very good teams, three top 20 teams in those first 3 weeks. And I think, as I said on previous shows, I thought we were making progress and getting better every week. And I think we began to see the result of that progress at Holy Cross. And then we saw it take another step at Columbia. And what I want to see it do is take yet another step this week against Robert Morris. When you play against quality competition, as I said to you guys before, you're tested. Your weaknesses are exposed. Then you go to work the next week and you try to correct those weaknesses and get better at the areas where you're deficient. And if you do that successfully, you're going to get better. And what a football season is all about is getting better from 1 week to the next. And if you do that for 11 or in our case 12 weeks, you're going to be pretty darn good at the end of the season.
Well, hopefully the Hawks will even be better on Saturday. A 1 o'clock kickoff against Robert Morris at Kessler Field should be a beautiful day for fans who want to come out. Of course, if you can't, if it's not convenient, you can tune on the Shore Sports Networks, 1160 and 1310 AM, or shoresportsnetwork.com. Listen to the stream. Matt and Eddie Acapinti do a great job, and hopefully they'll call a third straight W. Coach, as always, we appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Guys, thank you very much.
Coach Kevin Callahan of Monmouth University. Of course, you can catch the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show every Tuesday night at 7 with Coach Cal and Matt on 1160 and 1310 AM. One of the guys who had just a monster week a year ago and has been saluted for that effort, and why not, and we'll continue that. He is a Brick Green Dragon, Ray Fattaruso. We'll talk with him after this break. You're listening to the Investors Bank High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk. Kevin Williams, Ed Sarluka, and Matt Harmon here at the Water Street Grill, along with Tom Tremblay, the guy who keeps it all together, and back at the studios, the smooth one, Ray Malaspina, as we take you to 8:30. Our football picks and look at the entire high school weekend coming up. But can you have a better game than what Brick's Ray Fattaruso did last week? In a 47-21 win over Tom's River South, all this young man did was run for 112 yards and three touchdowns, throw a 30-yard touchdown pass on the old option play. Oh, and by the way, on defense, three sacks. Never wants to come off the field. And, boy, you got your money's worth if you watched this young man last week. And he is good enough to give us a few minutes on the show tonight as they get ready for another big game this weekend, the Green Dragons do. Ray, first of all, congratulations on your effort last week and the big win over Tom's River South.
Thanks. Last week was a really big rival for us playing Tom's River South. And all we wanted to do is just go out there and have some fun and win a ball game. But the main key was a win, big rivalry game for us. And moving on to this week is another big game. In A-South, you never have a week off. It's always a championship week.
Ray, when you think about it, as Kevin kind of introduced you as a guy who never comes off the field, I would imagine that that's by number one, your choice, and also the coaches know you're pretty valuable, but you must be that guy who just tells the coaches at some point, don't worry about it. I'm okay. Leave me on there. I want to be involved with as much as I possibly can.
Yeah, when I get taken off, I get really frustrated. I feel like I'm letting my team down if I'm on the sidelines for a play. I just want to be on the field every play, every minute of the game. Being on the field is just an absolute great feeling. Playing for a town that actually has so much tradition and so much pride. It's just a great feeling being out there wearing them colors and playing the sport I love.
Okay, Ray, I'm going to take you back to the middle of the third quarter when the play comes in from the sidelines. I don't know. Tell me what you call it, first of all, talking about the option pass.
When Coach LaBarca called the play from up top and then Coach Spadavecchia told Carmen on the field, Carmen came to the huddle and said, halfback option pass on three, whatever he said.
Okay.
I looked at Carmen like my head was spinning. I didn't even know what to think. I asked Carmen like three times if he was serious. I said, "Are you really calling this play right now?" Carmen said, "Yes, I'm this play is called." He said, "Get the ball," and he said, "Throw it." He said, "Mike will be there." So I gave Coach Barker a lot of confidence in giving me an opportunity to do that play in such a big game.
I understand that you threw it a couple times. You practiced it a couple times in practice, not too successfully, right?
Yeah, in practice. The first time I overthrew him by, like, maybe a mile. And then I threw an interception to one of the JV corners, and it was a terrible sight to see.
Ray, when you think about it, you know, each week in A-South, kind of, you can either make or break, really, your season. And you guys kind of got things back on track and put yourself right in the mix of the race, 2-1 overall, but maybe more importantly, 2-0 in the division, but certainly no rest this week now as you have to take on a pretty good Southern Regional football team.
Absolutely. One of our defensive tackles and offensive guards, Matt Alufanoa, he gave us a pretty exciting speech the other night before we came out against Tom's River South. And after giving that speech and realizing how bad it is to lose against, just to lose in general in high school football, is a terrible feeling. And losing against Middletown South was just a feeling that we don't want to see anymore. And coming against a big team like Tom's River South and Alvers and Southern, we know that we have the manpower to defeat any team in the Shore. And we have the ability to put that many points on the board every game. It just matters the fact that if people do their jobs and their assignments that we're supposed to do, we can conquer that.
Ray, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. Obviously, last Friday, the official word came down that Anthony Starego would be able to join your team and compete on the Green Dragons field for the rest of the season. Of course, the young the kicker with autism, and people, I think, know the story by now. And, of course, I believe he was one of your game captains last week, came on the field with the team. Tell me if that gave you any kind of extra lift, and if you can share with us what him being able to be on the field in uniform might mean to the entire program.
Yeah, hearing that Anthony came back to the team is just a great feeling. Anthony's probably one of the biggest Brick fans I've ever seen in my entire life. The kid shows so much love. He just absolutely loves the sport. He loves the Brick Dragons to the death of him. And you know, hearing that we got Anthony back just gave us that much more confidence because we have that one more player on our team. And from being happy, the excitement that we felt made us even more like pumped up for the game, gave us more power for the game. And using that power to go into the momentum of the game was just awesome, because knowing that everything was back to normal, we had everybody on the team, not one kid was sitting out, it was just a great feeling in general.
Last week was just simply remarkable. A little disappointed. I thought maybe you'd have gone into the stands and sold some popcorn for a while. But you know what? We'll get you before that. But we congratulate you on the win. As you said, of course, no rest for the weary with a big game at Southern tomorrow night. But congratulations to you and the Green Dragons, and I wish you nothing but the best, Ray.
All right. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Ray Fattoruso, Jr., all everything for the Brick Green Dragons, and surely that team responded and bounced back from the Middletown South game in a grand fashion.
Well, you know, Ray had not run the ball like he probably wanted to from the beginning of the year. Had some low yardage games in the first two, but completely unleashed his offensive prowess against Tom's River South, and truly deserving of Player of the Week honors in the Shore.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just a remarkable effort. And I guess, Matt, we'll probably find out this week, but, you know, the one question that I think, you know, people who followed around the Shore have, was Brick's offense that good, or is Tom's River South's defense that bad? Because if the South defense is not good, well, Lacey tomorrow night could be even more of a challenge, because they'll face a true team that can do it all offensively, run and pass.
I think this is, if you look at it, a great week of A-South football, top to bottom. Even teams that are 0-3, like Tom's River North, if they have any chance of getting their season turned back around, well, they're going to have to beat a Jackson team that's 2-0 that we just talked about. We'll find out if Brick Memorial can get, to me, almost dual elimination games going on in the division with Lacey and Tom's River South. Indians don't want to lose for a second consecutive week. And Southern, off what we saw, a pretty impressive performance, taking on right now a pretty hot brick team. I think it's a great weekend of football in that division.
My opinion on that Brick-South game is the familiarity that Chip Labarca Jr. brought over. And, you know, how familiar he was coaching against Toms River South when he was the head man at Toms River North. I think that had a lot to do with it, along with him and Rob Dahl calling the offensive plays.
The thing that surprised me maybe more than anything on that game was not that Brick scored 47, although that was shocking, was that Toms River South got shut out in the second half.
Yeah.
That was a track meet in the first half, but then all of a sudden, the Indian offense really hit a wall in the second half. And, of course, you know, Ed, we're hearing that South is nicked up a little bit. You know, there are some kids that, listen, we know we're already in the middle point of the season. Everyone's got bumps and bruises, but they have some guys who could be hurt. They're a team. You and I, we talked about this in the beginning of the year. They were at Central, as talented as they were. Of the teams of all the better.
You know, we also talked about, we thought that their defense would get better as the weeks went on. I think they.
A reset for you. It's time for the Six Pack Plus One, brought to you by Considine Scherer and Associates Incorporated, Allstate Insurance Company. Just because you're insured doesn't mean you're protected. These guys were at 211 Lacey Road at the corner of Route 9 in Forked River. So there you go. They'll put you in good hands there. So here we go. Last week, Matt was 5-2. Nice job, Matty. Scott and I, Scott being Scott Stump of SureSportsNetwork.com, and I were both 4-3. Ed, 3-4. For the season, Mr. Harmon has now taken over sole possession of first place with a 16-5 record, a game up on both myself and Scott, and at 13-8 in an all-too-familiar position. There's the defensive guru himself, the coach, Ed
Sarlouk. I go for the upsets.
Yeah, well,
wait till you see some of my picks this week.
Well, we're going to start right now with the game we will broadcast tomorrow night as Lacey heads to Detweiler Stadium. I'll stick by what I've always said. There's no better place on Friday night to be watch a high school football game than Detweiler Stadium at Toms River South, and we'll be there tomorrow night as the Indians take on the Lions. A game you can hear right here on 105.7 FM, The Hawk. And, Ed, since you want to pick some upsets, let's go.
Well, I'm going to go with the underdog. I think Lacey is favored tomorrow night. I'm going to go with the home team and pick the Indians in a must-win game.
Matt, do you agree?
I do not. I will take Lacey in that football game. But I think that we are going to have a lot of fun broadcasting what could be a track meet type game.
Bring some extra paper to write the scoring plays down. Okay?
I will.
By the way, both Scott and I are going to go with the visitors in Lacey. But I agree. I would be surprised if this one is not an absolute dandy. We just talked about this one, and we stay in Class A South as the Green Dragons of Brick, coming off that big win a week ago, head down to Southern Regional to take on a Ram team that righted itself last week with a nice win over Toms River North. Scott took Brick.
I also take the Dragons.
Okay, so that's you and Matt.
I'm taking Brick in that one, too.
Wow.
So Kevin's going to go for the upset, and I'm going to say the Rams at home. I think they got a little healthy last week, liked the job their offensive line did, and heading back to Manahawk, and I'm going to go with the Gazicki gang in a close one. Let's head up to Monmouth County tomorrow night as Matawan visits Neptune, two of the more formidable programs here at the Jersey Shore. Both Scott and I went with Matawan, Ed.
I'm going to go with Neptune in a must-win for the Flyers.
He's either going to have a big week or he's going to be so far in the cellar we'll never hear from him again.
That's true. He's laying it out there for week four. I'm going to take Matawan to bounce back off a tough one with Ocean.
All right. We talked. Scott talked a little bit about this one. Modern Day Prep. Undefeated Modern Day Prep.
Say that again.
Undefeated Modern Day Prep, coached by Principal Steve Sharapa. Heads to Point Pleasant Beach to take on John Wagner's Garnet Gulls, who have struggled a little bit offensively, been very good defensively. What do you like, Coach?
Well, I'm going to go with the Gulls of Point Beach. I think the undefeated record ends tomorrow night.
Both Scott Stump and I picked the Garnet Gulls of Point Pleasant Beach.
Yeah, we can make that a 4-for-4.
Wow, nobody believes in the Sheriffs.
All right. Wall and Long Branch game, we talked a little bit about this. We'll get a better idea. This Crimson Knight team off to the 3-0 start. Can they make it 4?
You know, every game this week that is on our schedule.
These are all great.
All pick-ems. I'm going to go with Wall. I think for real, Matt, I'm going to go 4-0 for Wall.
I'll take Wall in that game, too.
Scott Stump and Kevin Williams say go with the Crimson Knights. Wow. So all four of us like Wall.
Wow.
Brick Memorial at Toms of Reese. This is a Saturday 3 o'clock game. The Stangs are hurting. Got walloped pretty good by Jackson Memorial. Injuries, their leading player Mike Basile out last week. Foot was in a boot. Toms of Reese looked like as bad as you could look for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden found a little mojo last week against Lacey. Gudzak and company ran the ball well. I mean, it was just a terrific game. Both Scott and I take the Raiders at home to get their first W of the season.
Matt?
I'm going to give Brick Memorial one more chance. One more.
Well, as for you, Mr. Sarluka, now I believe, and Matt, you correct me if I'm wrong, all the years we've been doing this, has Ed Sarluka ever picked against Brick Memorial?
Never.
And this week will be no different. I am going to take the Mustangs. Don't ask me why, but I'm taking the Mustangs, even though you looked at my circle over here, and it doesn't have a circle around Brick Memorial.
You just couldn't do it. You couldn't say it.
I couldn't do it.
It was like Fonzie trying to say the word wrong in Happy Days. You could never get it out.
I hope my son is listening. I couldn't do it. Ed.
All right, we saved the big one for last. Battle up in Monmouth County. Of course, so much on the line. Middletown South visits Manalapan. Manalapan is, Scott said, I think 18 straight division wins. Both Scott and I think Manalapan at home is just too much.
Yeah, four in a row, too, against Middletown South. I think if the game was at Middletown South, I may favor the Eagles. But at home, Manalapan makes it 19 straight.
Yeah, that's. I actually thought, even though it's the big game of the week, I thought it was pretty easy to pick this one, Manalapan, for me, too.
Well, I think that's more of an indictment on how good you think the Braves are.
Yes.
Because
exactly.
Middletown South is a good football team. I think we know that. Okay, we've got, I guess, a minute or so here. Looks like that. So, you know, those are our picks, some of the other games, and we looked at, we really didn't touch on tonight. Colts Neck will visit Middletown North tomorrow. Marble's at Freehold Township.
Yeah, Colts Neck under the radar.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about them. They're going to have a say in that division race. They're off to a 3-0 start. In Class A Central, Red Bank Catholic. We didn't even mention the Caseys tonight. 3-0. Their game this weekend against 0-3 Raritan tomorrow night. We don't expect much there. St. John Vianney visits Manasquan on Saturday. Homedale also at Monmouth. B North, Wall at Long Branch, Mattawan at Neptune. In B South, we didn't really get too much on that. Jackson Liberty at Barnegat. Central, a real surprise, will host Pinelands. Lakewood is at Manchester. Everything else non-divisional. Howell, Freehold, Bondon have buys this week, and that's going to do it. The music says thank your guest. We will. Thanks for everyone being here tonight. For Matt Harmon, Ed Sarluka, Tom Tremblay, and Ray Malaspina, I'm Kevin Williams.